your life does speak louder than any one moment, right? This morning at Proverbs chapter 20, Proverbs chapter 20, beginning with verse 3. It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. The sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Many a man claims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Lord, thank you for your word, and we pray that you would speak to us now. Use me to as your vessel, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure that you'll agree with me this morning that every generation of human beings that's been on this planet, with each new generation, it seems like morality is something that goes down with each generation. Thankfully, not with everyone, and not with every family, but overall. Yet I wonder this morning if there were more godly fathers that would step up to the plate if the tide could be turned. We know from the Bible that this world we live in will continue to be on a downward spiral. That's what the Bible teaches. We don't like to think about that a whole lot. Who wants to think about that all the time and be just depressed, right? But that's what the Bible teaches. But what if there were more God-fearing fathers and grandfathers guiding children and young people? Warm and attentive fathers and grandfathers that would guide kids and grandkids into life instead of what they hear and are taught by the world. Well, for most of us in here today, we feel like it's a little late, right? We feel like it's a little late. We've raised our kids. However, we can still be an influence. And for me, whatever the numerous mistakes that I've made as a father, could I not now be a godly influence to my grandkids and other kids that are in my life? Well, certainly we can, right? As long as we still got breath in our lungs, we can and should be an influence. Let's consider a few things from this passage of Proverbs this morning. It is Father's Day, but in this message, I want to speak to men. Whether you're a father, a stepfather, a granddad, or none of the above. This message is for us. These are actually guidelines of what any Christian man should be. First off, a good father should be a patient man. Verse 3 said, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. A godly leader, a dad, granddad, or he's one who works on his personality. He works at making it a pleasant, patient, positive personality. Nobody likes a grumpy old man, do they? Grumpy old man. You ever known any grumpy old men in your life? I know. I work with a grumpy old man back in a shipping department. I hope he never turns the website on and listens to these messages. He'll know who I'm talking about. But just gripe and grumble all the time. He'll do anything he needs to do and anything you ask him to do, but he's gonna gripe and grumble and complain. he's a grumpy old guy. And it seems like everybody that has had his position in that department back there, I guess it's that chair they sit in. They've always been grumpy old guys sitting back there. Well, much patience is required when it comes to young kids, but we often lose that as we grow older. We kind of forget what it was like to be a kid, don't we? Our patience grows thinner. And it'll certainly help to be positive when often things are not so positive around us, right? So we should be an encourager. Lead and guide in an encouraging way. And then there's some of us who have, not me, an issue with our temper. Now, I'll admit that I have had an issue with that in the past, and it still flares up from time to time. You can't believe that, can you? Me, have a temper. All you have to do is ask Susie. She'll be glad to tell you. But we need to learn what to do with that, don't we? And learn to smile more. Consider these verses when you're angry. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back." And so the key here is for us to implant the Word of God deep into our hearts and to help us be a patient and encouraging man. But you have to work at it, by the way, don't you? It don't just come naturally. It's not like we can stick the Bible under our pillow at night and by osmosis it just kind of jumps into our brain, right? You have to actually read it and work at it. And it's worth it, is it not? Second thing is that a good father should also be a hard worker. We saw in verse 4, it says, "A sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing." If you're not familiar with farming, you do your plowing when? In the spring. You don't wait till the autumn, it's too late. By then you should be plowing after what you've already harvested, right? But this verse speaks of the need to demonstrate good work ethics to young people. Don't you see that has really slid and gone by the wayside? Big time. That's why you don't get the customer service that you used to get when you shop or you go to the restaurant or so forth. You don't get that anymore because it seems like so many have not been taught a good work ethic. And so this is a man described in this verse who is not lazy. He's not a sluggard, as it says there. Of course, the big trouble today is that folks don't really want to work at all, right? Want everything handed to them. I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning because you understand that. But I'm talking about able-bodied people who have no work ethic. They don't understand what that is. And one of the tragedies of fathers today is that they ignore their children. Their life is so busy. And they don't teach them these kinds of things as they don't understand work ethic. And they don't teach their children that. They get caught up in themselves and activities or simply just do nothing at all. I know as a father, I always, and I'm sure that you do often, we look back as we raised our kids and we try to think about what we would have done differently, right? We would have done this differently or that differently, or I would have done this or that or done this sooner. Of course, it's always just what we think, right? Because it's time that's already gone by. But we shouldn't waste all of our time on selfish things, but make sure we carve out some time for those who we can make an influence on, and that's young kids. And maybe you're not ever around any young kids anymore. Possibly, though, you've got grandkids that you are. You have an opportunity to, and you still have an opportunity to exemplify a Christ-honoring life in front of your grown kids, right? My kids are 28 and 31 years old, but I still have and can be a godly example to them and their families. In some past churches that I pastored, I started an Awana children's program. Y'all know what that is? Some of you may have heard of that before. But it's similar to Vacation Bible School, but it happens every week, one day a week. We usually do it through the school year, and we'd break off in the summer and do some different things in the summer. But this program was something that was just, it just really, you had an opportunity as a church, and I had a lot of men helping me with this. We had an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of kids. Wouldn't it be grand, and I'm not suggesting that we do this, but wouldn't it be grand if we did that with all this empty space we have in these buildings, that it couldn't be transformed some way into something like that, that could, where we could actually have an influence on kids? Would that not be, it scares the daylights out of you, doesn't it? It's possible. It's possible because really, there's more people in this church than that first church that I started, Awana. But here's the thing. See, their parents would come too and want to help. So there's where you got your younger folks to help. Since y'all already done your thing, right? Laugh, it's funny. You'd say, no, it's not. I'm not feeling like it's funny. I'm just feeling older. And kids wear me out. But we can all do something, can't we? One thing. A third thing is a good father is also a good listener. Verse 5 says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. We could rephrase that verse on Father's Day to say that the thoughts of a child's heart are like the deep waters. In other words, we should make ourselves available to kids and grandkids so that they feel comfortable talking with us, that they're not afraid to open up to us. We need to know what's going on, don't we? We need to know what's going on in their lives and be involved in their lives. And to do that, we have to spend some time with them, and that time should be quality time. A fourth thing, a good father should be a faithful friend. Verse 6 says, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? Does your walk match your talk? We say that we love our wives. And by the way, my wife did wish me a happy Father's Day. I got to take that back right now. She sent me a text message early this morning and said she loved me and happy Father's Day. Isn't that a good woman? This is not Mother's Day, though, so I can't praise her too much. But no, I appreciated that very much. But that popped in my head, Sonny, when you were singing. I thought, she did say that, and I got to clear that up. But we say that we love our wives, our kids, our grandkids, but do we demonstrate that? Are we meeting their needs? Not talking about financial needs, although sometimes that happens too, doesn't it? As a father, I like to get calls once in a while from my grown kids to ask me advice about something. And because it makes me feel good that I can still be a blessing to them. A fifth thing is a good father should be a righteous soul. Verse 7 says, the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. A good father is a saved man, right? He is one who leads his family to know Christ. He should be an honest man, a faithful man, a dependable man, a trustworthy man who leads a blameless life of high character. By the way, this book right here, if we get this in here, it helps us do all those things. It helps us be the man. And we start being that kind of man without even thinking about it, because we've already planted God's Word in there, and we've got God's Holy Spirit to help us. It's not that hard, is it? Not really. But this man is committed to Christ. He's committed to the Word of God, to prayer, and to his church. Being faithful to his church, he models integrity in front of his children and grandchildren. And really this final point here is made is actually the foundation of it all, like I said. Because in order to be all the things that I've talked about this morning, you have to have your feet planted on the rock, right? The rock is Jesus. Men that are standing on the rock, feet firmly planted in the Word, have an active prayer life, a commitment to church life. Those are going to be men that will get it right with the kids. Good father is a patient man, hard worker, good listener, faithful friend, a righteous soul. In other words, he's a saved man. So this morning, I want to invite you to trust Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Because you won't get the other things right unless you start by giving your heart, committing your life to Jesus. And so let's do that this morning. All right? Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer.